Proverbs, if you would, tonight, Proverbs chapter 4. I want to spend the next few minutes teaching on a wise man's search for wisdom. And we looked last Sunday before last, the first message in this instruction. I said this was a message that I originally brought at the men's retreat, and it's one that I felt would be profitable for the entire congregation. And so for those of you who are men here, you need to hear it again. And that's not uncommon for us as men to need to hear something a second time. Amen. And all God's men said, Amen. We don't maybe like to acknowledge that, but it is a reality. I do think it is a profitable subject that we would we would study God's word. And I have a desire to encourage the pursuit of wisdom for our congregation. And there are things that we're doing that to try to enhance that, to encourage that amongst the body. So if you would take your Bibles and turn to Proverbs chapter 4, and let's stand for the reading of God's word tonight. Proverbs chapter 4. I'll begin reading in verse number 1. Hear ye children, the instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding. For I give you good doctrine, forsake ye not my law. For I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. He taught me also and said unto me, Let thine heart retain my words and keep my commandments and live. Get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not. Neither decline from the words of my mouth. Forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. And with all thy getting, get understanding. Father, I pray tonight that you would enliven our hearts and our minds, and that we as your people would grow in the grace and knowledge of our Savior Jesus Christ into a deeper walk and a deeper understanding of the plan that you have for our lives, not just in the area of our redemption, that we would trust wholly and solely upon the grace and mercy of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that through the believing in the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, and the repentance of our sin, laying everything that we have ever done at your feet, and receiving the gracious gift of salvation. Lord, help us to remember that is the greatest thing. But as believers, that we would recognize that you have so much more that you desire for us to walk in wisdom and understanding. And I pray that we would spend the rest of our days upon this earth until you come, searching for wisdom and understanding, the knowledge of the holy. And I pray, God, that you would bless us in our pursuit. And I pray in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. In teaching on the subject of a wise man's wisdom, I want you to understand that I am not pretending to be the fount of wisdom or the one who has attained, but rather to identify as one of the runners in the race, one of the ones who is seeking to win the prize, one of the ones who is, as Hebrews says, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, but one who desires to not only continue to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, but to encourage the congregation to do the same. There are some that believe that we should never change in our belief or our understanding as Christians. And they neglect to understand the very concept of the fact that our entire Christian life should be one of growing and not staying stagnant. It should be one of seeking to know wisdom and then being given understanding. If you read the book of Proverbs on a frequent basis, you will very quickly discern that it is divided up into some generalized categories. Two of them would be the search for Lady Wisdom and the search or the recognition of Lady Folly. The would be better to say not the search for, but the fleeing of Lady Folly. We are given this admonition in Proverbs 4 to get wisdom, to get understanding, to forget it not, neither to decline from the words of my mouth, to forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. Wisdom is the principal or the primary, the most important thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. I began the first message on this topic with giving you some definitions of wisdom. I'll just read one. It's the shortest one from the Lexham Bible Dictionary. Biblical wisdom refers to practical skills associated with understanding and living a successful life. And I would add a successful life that is pleasing to God, a successful life of the wisdom of God being applied. It is the search, not just for knowledge, but the ability to apply that knowledge in our life. Wisdom is the primary thing. Wisdom is the principal thing, and therefore we are to pursue it with an abandon. We are to remember that the scripture likens it to being better than gold and silver. Proverbs 16:16 says, how much better is it to get wisdom than gold, and to get understanding rather to be chosen than silver. We have a culture that loves the pursuit of riches, don't we? We have a culture that loves the pursuit of fame and fortune and even reputation of knowledge or degrees, but there is a lack of searching for the wisdom that is necessary to walk in a way pleasing to the Lord. We looked at the importance of the testimony of Solomon, who as a young king was given the desire of his heart. He was given the ability to have wisdom. When he had been given a chance to ask for anything that he wanted, he asked for wisdom and knowledge to judge wisely as a king. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, we are to get wisdom. Wisdom is the thing that makes a man strong. I have on my dresser, it hangs on my wall, it's always somewhere, depending on where I have lived or where I've kept it, but there is a name placard that used to hang in my bedroom as a boy, and it says, Craig, strong, enduring, and it has Proverbs 24, verse number 6, emblazoned upon it, and the heart desire of that verse is this. It says, a wise man is strong, yea, a man of knowledge increaseth strength. We are to be men and women who pursue wisdom from God's word, because that is the true source of strength. Proverbs also speaks of the wise woman who builds her house, but the foolish woman that plucketh it down with her hands. Let us be those who pursue wisdom, who pursue the strength that God gives. But tonight I want to give you two specific areas in which we can search out that wisdom. And they're very calculated and very important to understand. One is going to seem maybe very apparent from the scriptures. And the other, I want to talk in more detail about the resources that God has given to us to seek wisdom, to continue to grow. Seeking wisdom, first of all, from the Word of God. There is no higher, there is no deeper source for wisdom than the Bible. Amen? There is no better book to spend your life studying than the living and active Word of God. If you think you have mastered it, then you indeed are in error. You are living in a fantasy land. The Scriptures are a lifetime pursuit, and we will never exhaust the depth and the breadth of its pages. We may have read through it many times. We may have studied its contents many times. We may have studied it in detail. And yet, because it is the Word of the living God, we will continue to study it and grow thereby. I love reading the book of Proverbs. I love reading it on a regular basis, reading it aloud to our family. And I love coming across verses, not just in Proverbs, but just as an example, that hit you over the head and you realize, have I even read this verse before? And you know that you have read it, but it's come alive to you in a new way. And you've seen it with a new kind of clarity. Paul admonishes Timothy, his young protege in the faith, to study. He teaches them to study in many ways, but the primary means was to study the Word of God and to study it with a fervency, A familiar verse we find in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 15. The scripture reads, "Study to show thyself approved unto God." Study to show thyself approved unto God. "A workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness." Not only is there the pursuit of wisdom and the pursuit of the study of the Word of God, but that study of the Word of God helps you to be able to know what is profane and vain babblings and to flee from it. But if we do not study the Word of God, if we're not diligent about it, we will not have that ability to have the discernment to know what is right and what is wrong when it comes to spiritual things as well as the practical areas of life. I think about this verse, and it's a verse that's familiar. It's a verse that we could probably quote. Many of you have it memorized, and you say, yeah, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." But do you ever stop to think about just what it is saying? It tells us to study. It gives an idea of a diligence, a pursuit of understanding of the pages of Scripture. Paul was encouraging and admonishing Timothy to spend his life studying the Scriptures, studying the very Word of God, and doing it in such a way that he realized he was to show himself, approved unto God. Now, we understand we are saved not by works, we are saved by grace through faith, and that not of ourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And the next verse in Ephesians chapter 2 says, "For we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto" what? Good works. Those good works are found in the pages of Scripture. And one of those things that God wants us to do in the realm of walking in obedience and growing in wisdom is to be one who shows himself approved unto God by diligently studying the Word, by acknowledging that you need his wisdom. It literally says, "A workman that needeth not to be ashamed." A workman that labors with the sweat of his brow. Somebody who is fervently busy about laboring. And yet this is in regards to study. Now, Christians, understand, a lot of us, maybe you've been saved for many years and you think, well, I've kind of gone past the need to really dig in week by week. You know, one of the things that I'm so thankful for as a preacher is that I have to. You say, well, you should want to. I'm not saying I don't want to. I'm just saying I have to dig into the Word of God week in and week out to study, to be prepared to preach and teach the Word of God. And if I don't, or if I do, either way, it'll be shown. The Bible talks about that fruit may be shown before all in regards to the preaching and teaching of the Word of God. Say, well, you're a pastor. That's what you're called to do. I want to encourage you, maybe not in the same exact way or at the same amount of time spent, there needs to be in your own life a same desire to study diligently as a workman that's doing more than just kind of, just reading your page, checking it off, and moving on. But that says, I want to know what the Scripture says. One great way to do that, and I've been encouraging this for many years, since being the pastor here at Westside Baptist Church and privileged to preach and teach week by week, preaching through books of the Bible, I've always encouraged the church family, when we're preaching through a book of the Bible, it's a great time to say, I'm going to take this book and I'm going to read it over and over again. I'm going to study it. I'm going to grow in it. I'm going to learn what it means. And so that when you get done, and we get done with a series of sermons, not just because you've heard me preach and teach on it, but because you yourself have studied along with me, that you can walk away saying, I have a certain mastery of a particular book of the Bible that we've just gone through as a congregation through your diligent study. Workman that needeth not to be ashamed. Now, he uses a term where it says rightly dividing the word of truth. It literally means to cut it straight. Paul was a tent maker. As a tent maker in those days, they weren't using neoprene and things of that nature. They weren't using nylon tents or whatever the stuff they make tents out of. What's that stuff called? Gore-Tex. He was cutting animal skins and sewing them together, making tents. And they had to cut it straight as they fit pieces together. And this is how we need to study the Word of God, with a diligence that we rightly divide the Word of truth, that we determine what it really means, not by what we want it to mean through what is called eisegesis, reading into the text, but through proper exegesis, which is allowing the text to say what it says and embracing it. Not equivocating, not saying, well, for our times, this doesn't really fit. This doesn't really fit our culture. That's not how we should study the Bible. Amen? We should study the Bible and let the Lord speak to every issue of our day from what he said. His word is living and active. It's sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing and dividing asunder the soul and spirit and joints and marrow of the heart. It does its work if you dig into it and study it. Now, I'm going to give you some practical things to be a help to you. Some of you men may remember this. The scriptures were written over a period of 1,500 years, from about 1405 BC to AD 95. There are about 40 human authors, and I say about, you might say, well, that doesn't sound very definitive. There is argumentation over the authors of a few particular books, but it is not without a strong belief that they belong in the canon of scripture. By over 40 human authors, and has passed down since then for almost 2,000 years, and has been translated into hundreds of languages throughout the world. Faithful translations of the Bible in multitudes of languages, and all the time people that are working on translating the scriptures faithfully into the unknown people group languages of the world. And for that, we should be most grateful. Most thankful. Think if we weren't English-speaking people, if we were some other language and there was no Bible that we could open up and read. Think of how desperate we would feel if we heard there is the message of salvation, there's a message of the truth of God, and yet we didn't have the Bible to read in our own tongue. So we should be grateful for the fact that we have the Bible in our language and have had for hundreds of years since the Bible was first translated into English, so that the plowman could know the scripture like the clergy who at the time knew Latin or Greek or Hebrew. The Word of God is made up of 66 books. It is called the Bible, which is a library of books. It's a collection. It is one whole, but it is separate parts. 1,189 chapters, 31,173 verses, and 774,746 words. And I just got done counting this afternoon, so trust me. All right, I'm just teasing. Now think about this. This is an admonition to seek wisdom. This is meant to be a very practical lesson and encouragement to you as a body. If you read just 3.25 chapters a day, you will complete the entire Word of God in English in 1 year. Now, you might look at the Bible, and many of you might say, I've never read it through, cover to cover. You say, it's just impossible. This is not impossible. 3.25 chapters a day is, even for a moderate reader, is like 15 minutes. Depending on the chapter. If you get to Psalm 119, we'll give you a little more time, all right? And actually, reading Psalm 119, I heard done in a sermon, and it took a total of 15 minutes to be read aloud. We sometimes look at it as an impossibility to finish a big book like the Bible. Some of you may say, well, I read it every year, I read it twice a year, whatever the case may be. I'm talking about to some of you that maybe it's a struggle. And I just want to encourage you, if you just take it in bite-sized chunks, you can read the scriptures. You can complete the reading of God's word. If you think about religions of the world, and there are false religions where people are tenacious about their study of their false texts. We should, as Christian people, be more than just somebody who says, we believe the Bible. We believe it's the word of God. We should be able to say, and we've actually read it. And in fact, we continue to read it over and over and over again because it never grows old. If you read the one proverb a day corresponding to the day of the month, you'll read this powerful book 12 times in a year, because there's 31 chapters in the book of Proverbs as one example. Read a proverb in the morning to start your day. Ask the Lord to give you wisdom for that day and read the scriptures, whether it's at lunchtime or at nighttime with your family. Just spend time studying the scriptures. And when you do, you will learn things. It will amplify what you learn from the preaching and teaching. that you have in the church or in Bible studies. It will strengthen that, because you will be bringing to the table your own studies and preparations of your own heart. In the scriptures, we learn the fear of the Lord. We learn that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. In Proverbs chapter 1, verses 1 through 7, we learn from the scriptures how wisdom is the principal thing, as I've read already today, this evening. We learn that there is knowledge to be had, and there is an understanding to be gained through the study of scripture. But it is hard work. Proverbs chapter 1. It says, the Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, and judgment, and equity. Aren't those things you want to know about? Wisdom, justice, judgment, and equity in all areas of life? To give subtlety to the simple, to give to the young man knowledge and discretion. Young men, you need the word of God. A wise man will hear and will increase in learning. Increase in learning. You say, well, I finished my education when I was done with school. High school or college or graduate school, whatever the case may be. You should not have the idea that when you finished your formal education, you were done learning. We are a people of the book. We are a people. Christianity is a I'm going to use a broad term, is a religion that is a literate religion. It is a people to whom God spoke. And he gave us a book called the Bible that's meant to guide and direct every facet of life. That's one of the reasons why, and this just is a little an aside, that's one of the reasons why everywhere the gospel goes, they not only preach and teach the word of God, but very quickly thereafter, they're teaching people how to read and to write in their own tongue or whatever tongue the Bible is they're using to translate. We have people, our missionaries, many of them teach English, or they teach whatever language that they have a scripture in, and they're teaching the grammar of that so that they could read and study the Bible all on their own. And yet we have multitudes of Bibles in our own house. Sometimes we don't give them the time that we need to. Continuing, to understand a proverb and the interpretation, the words of the wise and their dark sayings. This doesn't mean evil sayings. It means the deep things, the deep sayings of God. You know what? You ever read the scripture and you know what it says on the surface, and then all of a sudden after meditating on that, you realize what God's talking about? It's not something that's not there. It's just something that's the deep sayings of God. It's revealed to you as you study and meditate upon the word of God. Something comes to the surface, you say, that's what God's saying. That's through diligent study. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. So if the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and he's told you that wisdom is the principal thing, therefore get wisdom, and with all you're getting, get understanding. That means if you fear God, you're going to be a people who spend time and spend your life seeking to study God's word, and you're going to stop using excuses of why you just don't get all that much out of it. When you study the word of God, you learn the fear of the Lord, and then he teaches you his ways. If we're to be wise men and women, we must not live as the humanists do, depending upon our own self for direction in life. Like if we were the first church of the humanist, our theme or our tagline wouldn't be Bible direction for life. It would be look to yourself for direction in life. But let me ask you a question. If you're not searching the scriptures, aren't you doing the same thing? Aren't you saying direction for life comes from within me? You may not verbalize those words, but if you're not studying God's word, if you're not seeking to walk in obedience to his word, that's what you're doing. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. How do you acknowledge him? How do you know what he's saying? Because he's written it in the pages of Holy Scripture. 1 Corinthians 1:25 says, because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. We're to search out the Scriptures. We're to seek God's wisdom. And even though the world may call it foolishness, and the ways of God they may call foolishness, we can trust that even the foolishness of God is wiser than the wisest of men. And the weakness of God is stronger than the strongest of men. Be men and women of the book. Be men and women who saturate your life reading the Word of God. Number two, seek wisdom from good books. I'll go back. Reading of the Word of God should be your priority reading. But then seek wisdom from good books. Now, some people have a, even amongst Christians, the people who even love the Word of God, they, some people take a passionate kind of, I'll call it an anti-intellectual bent, and they say, you should just read the Bible. Only read the Bible. We don't need any other books. We don't need any words of man. We just need the Word of God. And I would say we very much need the very Word of God. We need the Word of God as our primary means of study and encouragement and refreshment and wisdom. But then we need to recognize that in the Word of God, he's given to us men and women of wisdom who also talk about the importance of reading good books, that if we're going to read the Word of God and it talks about books that are profitable for us, then we should probably not throw them out. We should discerningly seek the wisdom from good books. I've heard people say, I don't think it's right to ever read a commentary to understand the Scriptures or to get enlightenment on the Scriptures. It's kind of like saying, I don't want to listen to a sermon to get enlightenment on the Scriptures, because commentaries are pretty much sermons collected, squished into a book that tell you, here's what this passage of Scripture means. It doesn't mean they're infallible, but they are a resource. I am not infallible. Nobody that preaches from this pulpit ever will be. But when the Word of God is spoken, it is. Seek wisdom from good books. I love the passage in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse number 13. Paul told Timothy, the cloak that I left at Troas, he's in prison. What do you ask for when you're in prison? This is not prisons like today. There was no Xbox 360. They didn't have any big screen TVs. There was no food trays brought to them. If you were in prison, you had to have people from the outside bring you your food, take care of you, and supply your needs. Otherwise, you just withered on the vine. This was not, prison Hollywood style. This was real dungeons. Here, Paul, in prison, writing to Timothy in 2 Timothy 4:13. The cloak that I left in Troas with Carpus, when thou comest, bring with thee. He said, essentially, it's cold in here. Bring me my cloak. He wasn't asking for his cloak for, change of style in the prison. He was asking for it because he was cold, because he was in need. He was in peril of the elements that were around him in the prison. The coldness and the lack of the warmth of a fire, things of that nature. But he says, bring with thee and the books, but especially the parchments. I believe there's two things that are referenced here. He wanted Timothy to bring his books. We don't know what the books were, but we know that they were his books, his books for study. And the parchments, the parchments of Scriptures, the scrolls, to bring the books and to bring the Word of God. Say, if you were in prison, would that be what you would ask for? Paul desired that. Why? Because he continued to desire to grow in the grace and knowledge of God, even while he was behind bars. By the way, when you read the New Testament and you realize that many of the epistles that you read about being encouraged and steadfast in the faith and walking in humility, they're written while Paul's in a dungeon. It's really a powerful testimony. in many ways. But just look at this fact. He encouraged Timothy, bring the books. He also exhorted Timothy earlier in 1 Timothy, the first epistle to Timothy. He told Timothy to give attendance to reading. Means spend time reading, studying, being diligent. 1 Timothy 4:13 says, till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, and to doctrine. Say, well, it doesn't say what he was to read, but we can probably surmise that he was supposed to read the scriptures, and he was supposed to read books that would help him to grow in his understanding of life and of the things of God. I'm going to quote a man who is not a Christian. At least, I can't be his judge, so maybe I'll retract that and say he doesn't come across that way. Mark Twain said, the man who does not read has no advantage over the man who cannot read. Now think about that. The man who does not read has no advantage over the man who cannot read. We need to be a people, if we know how to read, if you've learned how to read, it's a gift. Use the gift to study and grow in your knowledge and understanding, not just about the scriptures, but about all of life. I love the signs on a college professor's door. I'll just read one of them. The other one's a little bit more brash. I read it at men's retreat, but I won't read it here. It said, read! It has a man on there, a tough guy. Read! Go read a book now! You want to be a man? You want to be Mr. Tough Guy? Read a book. Dr. Lee Robertson, pastor from Highland Park Baptist Church in Chattanooga, Tennessee, said, leaders are readers, and readers are leaders. Why? Men who and women who desire to lead and to grow are ones who read and study continually because they want to be effective. They want to continue to learn. A dear brother and friend in our church just this last couple of days says, what are you reading right now? What's a good book on leadership? What's a good this? There's still a hunger and a desire. And by the way, there's all kinds of ways in which we can read. Maybe you struggle with sitting down to read because you're just a mover. You got to be moving. There is some great resources. Christian Audio has audio books, and you can read a book by listening to it. You say, well, is that cheating? Sort of, and I do it all the time. Audible accounts, and you can buy all kinds of really good Christian books and biographies, and yeah, there's all kinds of trash on there too. I understand that, just like going to the library, you have to be wise and discerning. But there are so many great resources. In like 4.5 hours, you can read a book that's 200 pages long. It's a great resource, and it still is adding wisdom and understanding. Some of you have a commute that's an hour long, one way. Don't just use it doing nothing. Grow and learn. Reading is vitally important in the lives of Christian people because we have a God who spoke to us in a book, and we are a people who are spoken. God, out of nothing, ex nihilo, spoke us into existence. And he's called us to be a people who, in turn, spend our life reading and studying and growing in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and about discerning the life and the world in which he's given us opportunity to live in. Reading helps you to prepare broadly for that which you cannot prepare for. How is it when you study for a test, students? Like, you're just focused on this subject. I'm going to get this stuff. I'm going to get the cliff notes. I'm going to read the book. I'm going to do all these things. I'm going to study for this test. And then all of a sudden, there's a question on there that's not on, you know, and that wasn't in the study notes. And you're just dumbfounded. How do I answer this question? What is this trick question? This question was, what did you eat for breakfast? You're like, that wasn't in the study material. You say, that's a dumb illustration. I know. I was just trying to see if you're still awake. But you know what? Life is not like tests in school. Life is not like one area that you just prepare for and then you can pass. See, each day of our life, we face different experiences. We meet different kinds of people. We want to witness to different kinds of people. Some very highly educated, some uneducated, some in all different kinds of circumstances. And one of the things that reading does, and reading over a long period of time, it prepares us to have a broader understanding of a wide variety of things, to help to give us the ability to connect with people and to understand people and to comprehend maybe where they're coming from. It gives us a broad preparation. For you young kids that are here, I just want to encourage you. I was not a reader when I was a young man. If it didn't have pictures, I didn't read it. And I'm not joking. I think through high school, probably Indian in the Cupboard was my favorite book. It's not the deepest of reading. But when I got a thirst for knowledge and the wisdom of God, I've wanted to continue to grow by reading books, by listening to books, and of course, never taken away from spending your most important time in the Word of God. It's important. It's a great time to start now to become a lover of good books. Feed your kids with good books. I'm gonna mess up the quote, but Charles Spurgeon said something like, buy bread and buy books, but don't buy butter for your bread if you can't buy books. Get the necessities, but then get knowledge. Make friends with good books. Some of you know exactly what I'm talking about. Others of you think, that is the strangest thing I've ever heard. Make friends with good authors, both the living and the dead. And in them both, you will see wisdom. And when you read books, you will also see folly. Guess what? You will experience the same in the Word of God. The Word of God is not a book that only contains the things to do. It also contains the things not to do. It contains both the wisdom and the folly. And when you read and you study, you will find both the wisdom and the folly of man. And you have to seek to be discerning, and you have to help have others to help you with that. I'll give you this list, and I'm almost done. Types of books to read, things to read. Is it just the Bible and books about the Bible? I would say no. Do you realize that God's made everything good in His time? Read books on theology? Yes. Read books on worldview or understanding the world that we live in. Read books on economics. Read books on politics. Read books on history. Read books of literature. Read books on hunting. Read books on mechanics. Read books on home building. Read books on wordsmithy. Read books on art. Read books on education. Read books that are funny. I would recommend one or two, but I could get in trouble, so I won't. Just ask Jeeves later. All right. And anything else you can feed on. You say, well, how will a book on hunting help me in my life? Well, what if there's a time when you can't buy hamburger in the grocery store? Really practically speaking, am I doom and gloom saying that's going to happen tomorrow? No. But you may have learned, you could learn something and say, oh, that's how you do it. And yeah, there's a lot of practical things that actually have to be done out there in the woods hunting, but you've learned about something you didn't know before. And then you can appreciate those people who do that. And you can hope they barbecue well. All right? I would also suggest, this is, I think, important. Not everybody believes this is important, but I think reading newspapers and journals and blogs gives you an understanding of the times. I've already gone past my time allotted to myself, so I'll end with this. Practical ways to read a book. Bear with me. I told you it's going to be really practical tonight. Start small and read a little bit every day. Some of you right now are like, I just read 5 books this last week. Praise the Lord, this part isn't for you. Start small. Read a little book a little bit every day. Be a plodder. Take one foot, put it in front of the other. Plod, plod, plod. If you read 2 pages a day, you can read a 200-page book every 100 days. That would be 3.5 books a year. And for some of you say, that is like last week's allotment. But for those of you who have had a real phobia of reading, and you've had a lot of excuses that you've put up in your mind, if you just did that much, if you read 3.5 books this next year, that would be 3.5 more books than you've read last year. See, that's pretty plain. Yes, it is. Say, what if you just read those on an audiobook? That would be far better than not doing anything to grow yourself. 6.5 pages per day would help you, would allow you to finish the same 200-page book in a month. You could finish a book a month or a couple of books that are 1,200 pages long in a year, and you'd feel good about accomplishing what you've read. For me, I prefer to read several books at the same time. Some people, they start a book, they finish the book, they start the next book, finish the book. I have about 12 books on different subjects, and I'm reading through little bits at a time, and eventually you start knocking out, and you get done with that one, done with that one, done with that one, and you're reading and studying and growing. Everybody has their own ways. Why all this business about study and reading of books and reading the Bible? It's because if wisdom is the principal thing, you have to have a way to get it. You don't know everything that God wants you to know. If I'll put it in a different way. If he gives you life and breath and health and strength tomorrow, he wants you to grow tomorrow beyond where you were today. And that's not done unless we put forth the effort to study, to show ourselves approved unto God, workmen that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Read the word of God. Read good books. And yes, it is hard work. That's why a lot of people don't do it. They have a great appreciation for physical labor and for hard work. And they think, I just don't like this. I just can't do it. That's because it's hard work. You think it should be easy, but it's not. Ecclesiastes 12:12 says, and further, by these, my son, be admonished, of the making of many books there is no end. And much study is weariness of the flesh. It's hard work. But seek wisdom from the word of God and from good books that will feed and nurture your soul. Proverbs says, hear ye children, the instruction of a father. Attend to know understanding. Get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. We need to be men and women who are a people who search the scriptures for wisdom, who study great books of both the past and the present so that we might grow in wisdom and understanding and in the knowledge of God and the knowledge of the world that God has created. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools, notice these words, despise wisdom and instruction. Don't be the fool who despises wisdom, who despises instruction, even the kind of instruction that encourages us to grow in the grace and knowledge of God and in the grace of understanding the world that he has created. I pray that you would seek wisdom, the wisdom of God, both from his word and from the many, many great books that God has allowed men and women to pen, and that you do it with discernment. You do it with wisdom. You'd seek counsel, but that nonetheless you would desire to grow in your walk with God. Father, I thank you for the opportunity to teach your word tonight, to encourage the seeking of wisdom from the word of God, to encourage the seeking of wisdom from good books. And Lord, that we as men and women would be challenged, that the boys and girls that are here tonight would also be challenged and encouraged to grow in their pursuit of knowledge and understanding. And I do pray that you'd bless each family that's here, each Christian that's here, that we would get wisdom because it's the principal thing. We would pursue the understanding that God wants us to, and that ultimately we would grow in the knowledge of the holy and the understanding of the deep things of God for our life, for the mission that we're called to fulfill, for the families that we're trying to raise, for the city we're trying to impact, and for the world who needs our witness, and for a world that needs a witness that will be prepared with the wisdom of God that may be called foolishness, but it is wiser than the wisest wisdom of man. And I pray in Jesus' name, amen.